Thank you so much, Marcus, for this presentation. Growing faithfulness in the local church. This is a continuation of nurture and heart retention. Do you know that people who join the church, they ask themselves some questions? And the answers to these questions will determine if they stay or leave the church. Research from McIntosh and Arne has established that by the end of the first year, people ask themselves the following question: is my contribution important? These new members, they want to ascertain if they are part of God's mission. And there are two ways of being part of God's mission: by doing mission and by supporting mission. When the new member comes with a positive answer to this question, the likelihood that this person will remain in the church is very high. This is what Pastor Marcus has tried to establish. There is a direct correlation between spiritual, financial partnership and retention. The question is, the first one that we won't answer this afternoon: do we know how many of our members are financial partners in the church? The second question is, what can we do to help members to become financial partners? This is what this presentation is all about. What are the factors, when present in the local church, are conducive to spiritual financial partnership? We will concentrate on four factors. The first one is growing spirituality. A church, a local church, who is investing in growing the spirituality of their members, this church will help the members to grow in their financial partnership with the church. A research that was done in 2017, a study on American generosity and religious affiliation, it was clearly established the profile of givers that religiously affiliated individuals are more than two times more generous than others. This is well established through several studies. When we go to the Bible, Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, this text is an introduction to the third missionary trip of Jesus in Galilee. And Luke is talking about those who supported the ministry of Jesus. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. How should we understand this expression, own means? Were they only providing services? Were they cooking for Jesus, mending the clothes? Or does own mean implies also financial partnership? This word, upakanton, includes possessions and solid assets of a certain value. It is clear from this passage that these women, they were financial partners to the mission of Jesus. When we read these three verses in Luke chapter 8, Luke provides two additional information about these women. We read there, they have been healed and delivered by Jesus. And Luke will mention in the same text, they were with Jesus. Very interesting. These are two elements telling us about the spirituality of these women. And this spirituality that Luke is describing here is one that is experiential and one that is relational. Something very interesting. When do we see the same group of women again in the gospel? We see them at the foot of the cross. We see them at the burial of Jesus. And we see them as the first witnesses of the resurrection. Very interesting. This is telling us one thing. When everyone ran away from Jesus, these women, they remain connected with Jesus, testifying of a strong bonding and retention. Faithfulness in partnering in God's mission prepares for faithfulness in time of crisis. There is a direct relationship between partnership and faithfulness. And partnership is a result of relational and experiential spirituality. As a church, we need to get something from that. It is important for us to help our members to grow in their spirituality, not one that is only cognitive and mental, but a spirituality that is relational and that is experiential. The second element that helps people to become financial partners with the church is this one: deconstruction of attitudes towards money. Our upbringing and personality make it that we have a certain attitude towards money. There was a research done in the UK recently, surveying 100,000 people. And they discovered that in general, people have these four common attitudes towards money. Money as status, position. Money as freedom. Money as security. And money as an exchange for affection. When we look at these popular attitudes towards money, it is clear that if someone has one or several of these attitudes, it will be very difficult for that person to give. Because you see money as bringing things that are essential to your life. Unless we help people to deconstruct these common attitudes towards money, it will be difficult, even impossible. Even if the person has spent years in the church, but with such attitudes towards money, it will be hard for that person to become a partner, a financial partner in God's mission. When should we help people to go through this deconstruction project? I believe that this should start quite early in the discipling stage. Even before people join the church, we need to help them to understand to replace money as status with our identity is in our affiliation to God. Money as freedom, real independence is in Christ. Money as security, God's protection is foremost. Money as an exchange for affection, you are unconditionally love. When we deconstruct these attitudes towards money, it will be easier for people to become financial partners with the church. The third element that helps people to enter into financial partnership with the church is empowering partners. What do we mean by empowering partners? Helping people to grow with a special emphasis on managing personal finances. There are two obstacles to empowering partners. The first obstacle is empowering versus filling the church. I'm sure you have heard about that. Baptism, 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 nothing else but baptism. We should not have any problem with baptism. But such a mindset is a myopic worldview of the church. Joseph Kidder talked about that when he wrote, "Have the courage and commitment to pursue both health and growth." He's not just talking about physical health, but the health of members and growing the church numerically. This dedication needs to be passed down from the top leadership to the local pastor, lay leaders, and members. This is very important, dear friends. We should definitely invest in growing the church, but also invest in growing people inside the church. The second obstacle to empowerment in the area of personal finances is this natural reluctance of clergy, of spiritual leaders, to address financial matters. And this has been proven by many studies, a recent one done by Daniel Conrad, the reluctant steward revisited. Clergy, spiritual leaders, they find it hard to speak about money, to deal with financial matters. But the spirit of prophecy is very clear on this point. Many do not remember the cause of God and carelessly expend money in holiday amusement, in dress and folly, and when there is a call made for the advancement of the work in home and foreign missions, they have nothing to give or even have overdrawn their account. Many people today, they are not partnering with the church financially, not because they are not willing or they don't have the conviction, but simply because their finances are in a mess. Poor money management imperils partnership. And when we know the link between partnership and retention, we better pay attention to that. And listen to this next quotation from the Spirit of Prophecy. Many lack wise management and economy. They do not weigh matters well and move cautiously. Such should not trust to their own poor judgment, but should counsel with their brethren who have experience. It seems that Sister White is telling us we need to provide financial counseling to help our brothers, to help those who are part of the church to become financial partners with the church. How to proceed? I won't list you a list of actions or programs, but just allow me to share with you these two guidelines. The first one is use the hermit crab strategy. The hermit crab has something very interesting. The hermit crab, depending on the place or the season of the year, it will migrate into the shell of another sea creature. The hermit crab is expert when it comes to go undercover. I believe that if we want to educate members in the area of personal finances, please do not call a stewardship meeting. Very few people will turn in. But when the church is organizing youth activities, women activities, bring in the content. And because they have an audience, and this strategy has proven to be very effective. Marcus has already mentioned the second one, prioritize proximity interventions. If we want to help people to know how to manage their money, one way is to coach them personally and coach them as a family. The last element, if we want to grow financial partners in our local church, because we believe that this is essential, we need to build trust. Trust should not be a condition to faithfulness. This is not what we should teach. People should be faithful because God is faithful. But at the same time, the church leadership should understand that trust is an accelerator to faithfulness. Trust is an accelerator to the financial support of members. What is the reality today? And we have to confess that trust is at an all-time low in this generation. A Gallup poll of 2015 have shown that only 42% of Americans now have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in organized religion and the church. I don't know the figure for the church. Maybe we don't even want to know how our members trust the church or trust us as leaders of the church. But one thing is true. If the figure is not different, it will be difficult to enroll members to become spiritual financial givers. And this figure from 1960s, there was a peak, and after that, the decline has been regular and constant. It is very interesting that Paul understood the importance of trust. We often use the writings of Paul to speak about planned giving and systematic giving, especially 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. You know these two verses very well. But Paul does not stop with verse 2. Paul is continuing and Paul is saying, "Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me." What is Paul talking about? Paul is simply telling the people, "We will do everything possible, even if it means for me to go to Jerusalem, if this can build trust." He understood the importance of trust if we want people to become spiritual financial givers. There was a very nice study done by Smith and Emerson, and they report about it in the book Passing the Plate. They studied the decline in giving among Christians, and this is one of their recommendations. A significant increase in the public transparency, accountability, and credibility. I will read now the last part. Giving money would have the real effect over time of considerably increasing the amount of money they gave. Trust, the one thing that changes everything. How do we build trust? We can talk a lot about it, but I would just like to share with you this very simple, sketchy equation of trust from Galford and Drapeau. Galford and Drapeau, they are saying credibility, it has to do with competence. Reliability, it has to do how do people believe in you, in what you are doing and saying. Intimacy, it has to do with relationship. When these three things exist, trust will thrive. But when there is self-orientation, self-serving, it depletes our trust account. As a church, it is if we think that spiritual financial givers are those who are, the probability that they remain in the church is higher, we need to create a climate of trust. Just some few suggestions. Quality and relevant services. Quality relationship between members and church leadership. Adequate internal control system. That is practiced and known by members. Communicating regularly about finances. In conclusion, is my contribution important? Is my contribution important? This is the question many members are asking today. If we want to help them to come to a positive, affirmative answer, let us grow them into spiritual financial givers. Let us create the condition, growing spirituality, deconstruction of attitudes towards money, empowering partners, and building trust. The primary objective is not to bring in more money or more euros, but to improve the retention rate in our local churches by God's grace. Amen. Thank you. Mm.